Now, what I just meant is that, you know, people pressured, his wife was called to ministry. No, you hear his wife talk? Come on! Just reading newspaper, you know, reading newspaper to you, you know. Just reading newspaper to you. You will know that this woman has the unction. But he now pushed the husband to be the head of the ministry. The husband is the head of the home, not the head of the ministry. Did you hear what I said? Husband is what? The home. If he's not called to ministry, he's not called to ministry. There's no pretending in it. Please go and take an example from Joyce Meyer. The Lord is good. And you read in the Bible, it's not every prophetess in the Bible that had a husband prophet. A prophet husband. No, it's true. We only know the name of, what's the name of our main prophetess? Deborah. We just know the name of her husband, Lapidoth or something. That's all. The guy was a businessman of some sort. When the wife is there prophesying, the guy has gone to the farm to go and buy and sell, to do whatever he had to do. All right? Yeah, no, that's a mistake a lot of people make. Your wife wants to preach, let her preach. And by force, you must join her. Just pray for her in the morning. Whether you are anointed to preach or not, you can still pray for her. You have an anointing of a husband. Husbands have this kind of anointing that, my God, is not found outside. When she wants to go and preach, she tell her, kneel down here, let me pray for you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you shall speak wonderfully. And she will say, amen. And you are a businessman. You only know how to count money, buy and sell. The only thing you have to do with ministry is to give offering. Yet when you pray, an anointed woman will increase an anointing. Why? Because you are her husband. You are getting the point I'm trying to make? Anyway, so I'm going to explain a principle. So this is my brother. One day I heard him preach. I said, my God, this guy is called to ministry. There's no struggling about it. In fact, that day, I remember when he was preaching, he was struggling to sound like other people. In fact, I sent him a note that, you see, you don't have to sound like other people. Well, you know, there's a way they sound like other people will be finished. You know when I say finished? Like, one when school, those days, there was this girl that was, who came to fellowship to our school also. When you were talking to her, hello, my name is Nelly. You know, she's speaking like... Don't worry, just talk to her for 5 minutes. Things will soon finish. It will return to the original worried babe where she be. just stay with her and continue to talk. It will soon finish. Please, I don't know, how do I get away from here and get away? Just stay there. The thing will soon exhaust. You begin to talk normal like Nigerian girl. No, there are people like that. So when they want to start preaching, maybe you want to sound like, let's take, give me one man of God. Okay. No, that one is hard because you have to first go and do this one first. That one is hard. Okay, let's take Pastor Paul. Let's take T.D. Jakes. All right. Take some people like, you start. Ooh, if you say, come here to death, man. Just wait. Give the guy 10 minutes. He goes to exhaust. As he's doing, this was happening to this guy that day. As he started, he was doing his own thing. The person was trying to sound like, I was looking at him like, is he joking or is he serious? And after a while, the thing finished. You know, the dose he came with of the copycat, he has finished. He has to go back home and go and drink some more. That was when he started talking like himself. And my God in heaven. That was when the anointing came upon him. Oh, I said, Father, this guy is anointed. I dare to say it. This was many years ago. Before then, let me just give myself like 15 years. In 15 years, I've not been under that kind of unction up to 3 times. I'm telling you. I can count. I remember two, his own, another one when I was one of our local conventions. That's the second one. So I just put the third one just in case it's another one. That's how the thing was pouring. But there's a problem with this ministry job. He doesn't always pay money, especially when you don't raise money. Some who raise money that keep on going, you see them shouting, bring 5,000. They are looking for how to raise money. They are collecting a portion of it. It's a job. When you don't do that, he doesn't always pay money. Now listen, I say always because you see, things have phases. One day, you know, one man of God said he went to preach somewhere in Abuja. They gave him 45 minutes to preach, and they gave him 1 million naira to say thank you. Did you hear what I said? He preached for 45 minutes. to say thank you for coming. It was a millionaire. He was the one preaching with it. He said, well, he has realized now that, well, we want to understand that principle. We understand that principle, all right? There are many places where he will go and preach for 3 days. At the end of the day, they give you a pack of juice and tell you thank you for coming. Alanga, we have been there. But none of these things move me, Paul will say. Are you getting my point? Neither do I count my preaching as dear unto myself. It doesn't mean anything. Many times we finish preaching, they give you an envelope. I say, Alanga, what is there? Give me. Take your money. Ah, sir, don't worry. Alanga, let's go. It doesn't matter. You see, whether you give me money or not, whether I take it or not, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. You can never stop that thing from coming to pass. You can't stop it. What I said that is, if you are the preaching thing, that's how preaching is. You can preach and swear. If I one day my friend said he went to preach somewhere, that the function and the money they spent, he said, thank God, at least even a small money they give bros to them. And this is what he would call a full-time preacher. It's not like some of us that get his salary from working in this place at the end of the month, you know. So when they finished, they gave him an envelope. He told himself it must be a check. It can't be money. The envelope was so flat. The guy said he has to be a check. It cannot be money. It cannot be money. Can it be money? Except that it was money. It was money. When he opened it in, he told me that what pained him most was that the food they were eating at the function. He said, it's not now that everybody's making water, you know. That time, all the bottled water was Ragolis Swan. Even Eva had not come on board. And these guys were serving, can you imagine, you are serving bottled water. This was the kind of one. So he said, God is good. I thought it was true. They thanked him for coming, gave him an envelope. He told him that it has to be a check. He opened it, it wasn't a check, my brother. It was a note. One single one. That's why I wrote the book, So Who Will Pay For This? Because sometimes Christians behave like, say, their head is not together. What do you want that man to eat? That's the only job he does. What do you want him to eat? That's why I wrote the book, So Who Will Pay For This? As some preachers, they don't vex. They have taken the law into their hands. Say, God, if you won't handle this, let's handle it. I like this song. So you know why some preachers behave the way they do? They said, okay, let me not mention the name of this man of God, but you can imagine who I'm talking about. So in his days, if you invite him for a program, he will ask you, how much money have you spent on publicity? So you will tell him that maybe you want to impress him. Like, I know, they want to impress us, that kind of thing. Say, yes, sir, we have like 100 radio slots, 70 television slots, we printed a number of flyers, and you are doing it. So, like, how much are we spend? Ah, sir, in this program, we are spending ₦1 million in publicity. That's very good. So, you want to impress him. So, he'll tell you, go and pay my honorarium into my account first. And woe betide you if it's ₦1 less than that money you spent on publicity. That's what he used to do. By the time you finish, he'll check. Okay, it's complete. Very fine. If you spend less than that, he will return your money to you and say he's not coming. You'll be wondering what happened. His zone is that you're not okay. Me that they are coming to listen to. You are giving me some money. Then you are spending this amount of money to draw, then you are not serious. You should know which one is more important. Some of us won't do like that, but we thank God for those who can do it. We won't do it. We won't do it. God gave everybody an assignment. And that was that man's assignment. And this same man of God went to preach one day. This was in Kenya. They finished giving offering. They said he should bless the offering. So he looked at the offering. They counted it. They used shillings in Kenya, right? Now, they said that, okay, let's just assume it's Nigeria. This was in Kenya, but so I can talk properly with using Nigerian notes. So they counted the offering. Maybe it came to something like, let's just say 15,000 naira. So he looked at it. So this is the offering there. They said, yes. This is what you have given to your God. He collected the offering, went to the window. Tossed the thing outside. Dropped the basket there. Called a few of the women in church. Say, come forward. How much is that pair of shoes? Begin examining them. This shoe you are wearing, how much is it? You, this shoe you are wearing, how much? You now came to church on Sunday. This whole congregation, this was what you could gather for God. Before I release something apart from the anointing I came with. He called the ushers, come on, go and get me offering basket. Go start now and collect the serious offering. Offering went up by tenfold. Because you are not going home if it doesn't go up by tenfold. Kind of nonsense. He said, oh, the money he threw outside, he cost anybody that will go and pick it up. You touch that money, he threw it outside. I know he's a, that man, forget him, great man. He's not looking for your money, can be sure. But he said, look, what is wrong with all of you? You come to church on Sunday, this is the only, the amount of money you are going to give. Lie, he said he won't take it. Some men resorted to all kinds of methods. The righteous ones are the ones that tell you, look, how much are you giving? Some now start stealing money. Starts, correct. God spoke to me today that anybody that will give half a million blessings are coming. Is a lie. Why I know God doesn't say things like that to general population is that he does not discriminate based on the amount of money you have. And a man that does not have half a million cannot give half a million. So it's only the one that's rich that will get the blessing. No. So that's why he doesn't do such things. Okay. But the reason why some men have gotten to that level is because they have seen. Please, if you have not read the book, go and read it. So we pay for this. That's why I wrote the book. And that's why a lot of people used to fight me when I write books like Grace to Prosper. And I see some of the things I say that Christians, we don't give so that we can get. Because the reason why some fight it is because it appears as if I'm discouraging Christians from giving. Unfortunately, it's not so. It's not so. I'm telling them the truth. And if they know the truth makes them free to give. I don't know whether you get my point. When they know the truth. So God doesn't place any compulsion on you. In fact, if you read the book, So Who You Pay For This, I explain properly there. If you want to give, give, but it's a matter of being responsible. My children don't promise me anything before their school fees are complete. They don't promise anything. As I was leaving the house now, one of my sons came and said, Daddy, remember that thing? No? I said, yes. What is it? The ice cream I promised because I gave them, one day I said, recite 10 memory verses. You get it, you get cookies and ice cream. Ah, cookies and ice cream, nothing spoiled. Now they start, John chapter 3, verse 16. Philippians chapter 4, that is, hey, see competition. Say, no, I've said that one. No, you haven't said that one. They were going on and on. I said, this is good. Because their mother and the children's church, they drill them in, you know, memory verses. So that day, that is, the following day, somebody come and say, Daddy, yes, you know, I stopped at number 8. I remember another one. You give you another one. So today, as I was going for Bible study, I said, Daddy, remember? I said, yes. I did not forget. They don't promise me anything. They keep making demands. Why do I keep fulfilling those things? Because they are my children and they are my responsibility. In the same manner, the preaching of the gospel is our responsibility. I am not going to go to Aliko Dangote because he's the richest African or richest Nigerian to come and give me money to preach the gospel. If he wants to give, he should take the account number and drop it. But I will not ask him. I won't. No, you know, the pride I have in the gospel I preach is too much for me to ask an unbeliever for a dime. Not even a favor. If an unbeliever, I pay for everything. I don't ask a favor, must be a Christian. Who, not just a Christian, who respects the word that I preach, not just the gospel generally. You must count it an honor to do me a favor, for me to ask you a favor in the course of this gospel as banking. That is, I must see that you are being blessed doing it. I must see that you are excited. I'm the one to do this, sir. Oh, God, you are happy. Before I ask, otherwise I pay. How much more when it comes to an unbeliever? God forbid. God forbid. If I'm not going to ask an unbeliever for money to preach the gospel, therefore, it is our duty as Christians to do it. That's why I wrote the book, So We Pay For This. I don't know, I just digress into that. You can go and read the rest in that book. But all I'm talking about that, so that's what discourages some people. And that's why my friend, not my physical, and the real friend, but the person I was talking about, that's people like him get discouraged. Because often there is famine in the promised land, in the land of promise, more like. Sometimes there is farming the land of promise. But what I wanted to go into today is to emphasize again that despite the fact that there is farming in the land of promise, we must continually sow in that land. Because of time, I'll finish that next time. We must continually sow in that land. We must. Because all these promises, be it long life, be it health, children, no, children are the heritage of the Lord, all those things, they are promises. God said, if I don't find you in the land of promise, when I want to give it to you, I won't find you to give. I want to bless you abundantly with wealth. I said to you, the fact that I quote Isaiah 66 verse 12 all the time does not turn me into a businessman. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river does not mean I will start selling something and start buying and start doing an exchange of this and exchange of that. It means that the more I preach, the more I'm blessed. Why? Because that word will be fulfilled in my own land of promise. Life is a temptation. Many of the things we experience is to check whether we will stay there. When there is famine, Isaac wanted to leave also and go to Egypt. But that was not the place of his blessing. Even though Egypt may have promised immediate reward. And that's a mistake. Oftentimes we go for where the reward is immediate. I get it now. You change the job, go to a bigger job instantly. The salary increases, yes, we know. The perks are there, we know. But is this the land of promise? Is this where God will lift you up to the level where you become very wealthy? We're talking about Isaac. Or where you still be doing yes sir, yes sir, yes sir to somebody who decides what you get, what you don't get, or you want to get to a level where you'll be the one deciding what multitudes get. Most people fall for the temptation. They leave the land of promise because of temporary what? Famine. You know, there's famine there for temporary gain elsewhere also, of course. But remember, Isaac did what? He sowed in that land. And that's what I wanted to preach today, but because our time is up and I just kept on talking as I was talking, let me just let it flow. But hopefully I'll be able to get into it next time. But Isaac sowed in that land. I wanted to preach about how to sow in the land. I said something last time, let me just say it again. When it says sow in that land, let's balance it. Christians must give, amen?
Amen.
When it says sow in that land, he wasn't saying go and give an offering. You know, that's why we often interpret it. That has its own place. They talk about I call it the priestly corner of life. Every Christian must be a giver. In fact, today I wanted to go over it again to explain the principle of money to believers. All right? But therefore, then laying my emphasis, actually, on this sowing in that land. I said this last time, that every money that comes into your hand has its own portion. There's what the Bible calls seed for the sower, and then bread for food. And in previous times, we've discussed seed for the sower, that there are two sides to the seed for the sower. There is spiritual seed, and there is a physical seed. It is wisdom as you learn and as you walk with God to know which one is your spiritual seed. But my emphasis in this teaching is the physical seed. Because the time is coming shortly for many people here that God says everything you have believed for, you have been studying, you have been learning over the past many years, it is time to bring forth the abundance into your life. How do I do that? You now have to sow in a particular land. What does that mean? There's a ministry I've called into. There's a business I've called into. It is time to put money inside it and let it start growing. Let me say this to you. You are blessed. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Your life is not an accident. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
It's important you understand that because a time will come, you put your hand into something. Now remember what I said. Faith does not mean you're just acting foolishly. Let me quickly say this one to you again. If your faith is foolish to you, it's not faith, it's foolishness. You know what I said?
Yes.
If in your own eyes, what you are doing is foolish, there is not faith, it is foolish. It is actually what? Foolish. Let me say that again. It's very important. If as a Christian, what you are doing is foolish to you, it is not faith, it's foolish. What you are doing as a believer must be sensible to you. That is, I'm not talking about in using the wisdom of the world. I'm talking about the wisdom of God has so entered you that as you are doing is a reasonable thing to do. Okay, let me give this example I'm talking about now. That we're talking about, whether you live in Lagos, or I do ministry in Lagos, or go to Los Angeles, or do it in Nigeria, in Enugu, or do it, you know. any decision I make, to me, you've heard me talk, it's almost like it's common sense. Why can't you see that this is sense? Do you get my point? But somebody probably want to write the story later and say, man, that man, he took that decision by faith. But to me, it's common sense. That's why when somebody would tell me that we just did this one by faith, I said, well, are you sure you're doing it by faith or you're being foolish? Because if it is by faith, for you, really, you shouldn't be able to brag on the fact that it's faith. I don't know whether you got what I'm trying to say. Should have been for you, common sense. Just normal. The other day I was talking with one of my friends. He said, I had this ailment. And I said, you'll be taking this medicine for how long? I said, me, enough you do. I said, when it comes to taking medicine for the next 2 years, no, I know they do. What do you do? I said, I turned it to daily prayer now. I said, we'll be using spiritual medicine. And I wasn't joking. I meant it really. A woman came to see me the other day. I was supposed to get a test done for her son who had a kind of cancer of some sort. And first question I asked her, I said, listen, are you a Christian? She said, yes. Which church did you go to? She told me. We talked about each other. And I said, listen, let's talk about the power of prayer. Next time this boy comes around, come, let's pray with him. And to me, I wasn't joking. I wasn't trying to sound nice. I meant, listen, I happen to know that there's no permanent cure for this thing. Therefore, it makes sense to every day be dosing this situation with word. And to me, it's sense. It's what a Christian should do. I'm not saying, no, as a Christian, you must never take a tablet. I didn't say that. Maybe because of my own knowledge, I have checked everything. If you come to me and say, what is doing you, malaria? Most likely, don't be angry if you're a man of faith when I say this. Most likely, I just say, give him Kwatem, and I'll go away like, oh, that's small thing. So everybody will be happy. Take your malaria mess. When you come with serious sickness, say, wait. Because as far as I can say, they all work, you know, in quotes, they all work. I know, the malaria, you have anti-malaria, it will go. But it's, the other things, they don't work, but the world works in those things. So when I'm counseling people, it's common sense. Come on, listen. Which dose, you know, which one do we do? A friend of mine the other day, the doctor said, he called me and said, don't do it until we see. And we saw. What? He told me the whole thing. I said, my brother, this treatment these guys want to commence, I'm not for it. They are my colleagues, but I don't think they know what they are doing. They are trying their best. They are honest. But in this area, you are going to be ill for a very long time. I said, therefore, you want to ask my counsel? Let's go this other way. We also pray for a very long time. This one is sure to work. The other one, I'm not sure. Later on, when he went to see another doctor, the doctor said, hey, thank God you didn't let them do what they wanted to do. You will have been in pain the rest of your life. I don't know what I heard I said. A more specialized, you know, a more advanced in knowledge doctor said, if they had done that test, the pain will have stayed with you all your life because the part of the body they are going to operate on does not know how to heal totally. I said, my brother, I see what they tell you. We will continue to pray because I realized that what the doctor wanted to do is also not good. My point. So let's use our faith and endurance on this side. We'll suffer pain for a while, but we hold on to faith, you'll be totally well. For sure. Listen, you know why I say all of these things? I want you to understand something. That for the man, the woman acting by faith is reasonable to you. It's not, hey, let's just do it by faith. Is it by faith? Are you sure we're not being foolish? It doesn't make any sense. Let's just do it, maybe. No, if like that, go the other way. That one, that's not faith, that's foolishness. So why are you talking about that? I'll tell you. Because you're about to start sowing seeds. That's why I went to all of that. What did I say? Yes. It's like a prophetic word. It's hot, it's somewhere in my neck. You're about to start sowing seeds into an area that makes sense to you, but it's actually by faith. And people are going to come to this, how you know you're walking by faith, when it's so sensible to you. But people who don't have your level of faith come to you and show you how foolish it is, then know you're walking by faith. They know you're walking by faith. Because you don't understand why they cannot see what you are seeing. It is because you are seeing with the kind of eye they don't have. Remember, you don't see with your eyes, you see through your eyes. So you are using the kind of inner eyes that they don't have to see what they can't see. But my message to you today is that it is time to start sowing that seed. For most people here, I dare to say, that we have circled this mountain long enough. God says you have accumulated power, spiritual power. Now I'm looking for where to pour the grace upon. That Isaac had grace upon him. Are you getting my point? The grace for wealth. But because of famine, he wanted to run to Egypt and go and get common money, common wealth, common fruit. God said, no, I have driven everybody away with famine so that you can buy land for cheap. They've run to Egypt because there's famine. You will get plenty of land. Most of the Philistines were not there. They had all moved. You will get plenty of land. Then you will sow in that land, and I will pour grace upon the seed that you sowed, and then you will reap a hundredfold. I was telling you last time that I read somewhere that hundredfold was unusual until the time of that famine. I read it somewhere. What am I saying? When grace, the blessing that was in Isaac, wanted to manifest, it demanded that he began to sow his seed. And I'm saying to you, you will need to sow your seed so that that blessing can begin to manifest. Are you getting my point? Remember, I'm focusing on the physical seed now. Spiritual seed is important. It gets you a blessing. But for that blessing to manifest, what it's saying is that stop sitting down saying, there's no job. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, where is this land that I'm supposed to sow? God will say, take those books and go and sell. Are you getting my point? Yeah, it starts with that. God will say, listen, you've been watching this fellow wear this kind of shirt and all of that. Where do they make them? What is wrong with you making them? I remember the story of Rough and Tumble. Remember the story of, I don't know how many of you have read the story, Rough and Tumble. They make children's clothes. The woman was a housewife. That's the story where I read it. She wanted to, you know, I don't know, if you've seen children grow, the Lord is good. The other day, my wife bought, is there how many pairs of trousers? Is it four? For Akinyolu. And said that, we gave it to Siben to change to his length. But thank God for the wisdom of Siben, of us. Remember, it's a young boy, you give extra gap, you know what I'm saying? You fold it in by like 1 kilometer so that as the boy is growing. So one day, I saw the boy wearing one of those trousers and it was jumping. So I was like, there's some allowance since I let them loosen the thing. My wife said, no, they don't loosen them already. That the one you are seeing is the one that have been released. It's now at the edge and it did not begin to jump. No, I feel like saying that, please, let me now slow down this growth process. But no, I have a blessing. I have a blessing that I have four boys in my house. So grow all you want. Somebody's growing into it. Don't worry about it. Grow all you want. And I thank God anyway. Even if nobody's growing into it, I'm blessed. Amen? Amen. I can arrange it, all right? But you can imagine. So that woman said she had that kind of issue. The way children go through clothes and all of that. So she decided, why keep on buying? She decided to cut some and make herself. Well, I think it was even 90 she started with. Then her friends will see it. Ah, this is nice. Who made that? I did. You did. Let's make it long story short. Business began and became a chain called Rough and Tumble. Are you getting my point? That is sowing into your land. A lot of people, they eat too much. They buy foods that are unnecessary. They are buying a car they don't need. They can do without with seed money. I don't know what I get my point. What did I call it? Seed money. Where Christians have missed it a lot is that they thought that every seed was spiritual seed. So some, you finish bringing this kind of message, and now bring an offering basket. Who wants to break through tonight? You will put a seed inside that basket. I want to say something that will make me even less popular than before. Don't bother. What did I say? I shouldn't give offering? No, give. But when the message is hot like that, don't give the offering that day. Give it tomorrow. When you have gone home and your head has cooled down, before you give offering and start regretting and kill the offering with regret. I hope you have heard what I said though. You know, I have to say it to help you. And somebody preached a hot message, you will now sow a seed to say this is my breakthrough. Say, Pastor Banky said I should come back tomorrow. Say, why?
I don't want to go and give a seed that I'll not get back home now. I'm going to feel bad. And once I start feeling bad, the seed will now die. Let everyone do as he has proposed. So I have to give seed that I propose. I know it's not a very popular statement that I just made, but it's the truth. What did I say? Truth. Now that seed is very, very important. It's good, but the mistake Christians often make, they think that's the only seed. That's not the only seed. After you have sown the spiritual seed, the blessing will not rain from heaven as cash. Pray from now till tomorrow, now go and say, Lord, I receive the money. Then one plane will fly over and discharge dollars on your head. It may happen maybe once in about 650,000 years. Maybe. Just a bit unlikely. What is more likely to happen, which normally happens, is that when Isaac has a blessing, because of the blessing inside the covenant, and because of the power of the righteous works that he had done, that God decided to reward, whatever way it is, God will now say, Isaac, go and sow in that land. And that is one seed often neglected by Christians. They give all the offerings, and they now wait and be waiting for God to bring miracle. And God said, yes, I have a miracle for you, no doubt. But he that sows in tears, this sowing this time means that, oh boy, get up, get about that business. Get up, drop that CV somewhere. There is a job I want you to start life with. Get up, go somewhere, start doing something. And you will watch me pour the kind of blessing upon you that people will start queuing up to do your kind of business. Because before Isaac sowed in that land of Gerar, everybody thought everything was dry. You can be sure after that season, land price went up. Of course not. See, this was where Isaac sowed. Just by the land next to Isaac. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let me stop here. Next time we'll continue developing that. You must sow in your land. You must know your land. And especially those of us who have identified it. So, stop eating all your money. What did I say? Stop eating. You are eating too much. Somebody's hearing me. I don't know. I'm not talking to you directly. I don't know. Don't say, hey, who went to report me? Holy Spirit. He said, I should tell you, you eat too much. Not just physical food. Your phone is too expensive. You change your clothes too often. You can't afford that. You know. Why are you living in that kind of house? Your rent is too much for your level. That's what it means to eat too much. Sell that car, you don't need it. Sell it. Buy something that's less than half that price, that's maintained with a quarter that amount of money. What do I do with the extra money? Sow it. Use it to increase the size of your business. You've had this same shop for the last 5 years and you think you're making progress. No, it's not allowed. Watch your books. So you see, the amount of sales you are making from this shop is the maximum I will allow from this shop. Lord, what are you saying? Open another one. Leave here. That money, I packed it also, that when I release for this Christmas, said you will not release any car for this Christmas. In your village, your car is not banned, so you buy one. It's cheap because nobody's buying again. So what about that money? You will return in January and use to expand. And listen, from now on, this will be the course of your life. You'll be doubling your outlets every 18 months. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Without that, you will not have dominion. If you are eating too much, time to stop eating too much. That's what I'm saying. I've seen people who ruin their businesses because they have cash flowing now. Every new thing they must buy. Every new thing. What's the latest one? iPad 4, they bought. iPad 3, they bought last year, still working. Childish exuberance. Are you getting my point? Can't control the appetite. Change phone every 6 months. They bring one BlackBerry, you buy. They say BlackBerry BBM is now on Android. Say your opportunity to move to Android. You move to the most expensive Android. Well, all Androids are the same. Yes? I hope you know that. All of them can make. And what's the problem? What are you storing on your device? All you're doing is carrying your own. Once you have WhatsApp, you can text, you can receive calls, you can check email. What do you mean? And the 15,000 Techno does that very well. I hope you know that. With two SIM cards. Are you getting my point? Don't eat too much. That's what I'm saying. Take these things little by little. Don't just eat everything. Wham, and they go. No seed to sow again. Later, I'll talk about the practical aspects of it. You are doing business, you must have good accounting system. And in, what I mean by that is that what proportion of my profit am I plowing back as seed? Or everything is being plowed into one house in the village that you are planning to sleep in only 10 days in a year. Two during Easter, the rest 8 during Christmas. The rest, ants, rats, weevils, and some jobless village people occupy it for you. Yet you are taking the kind of money that will have made you one day meet at the airport, and you respect Dangote because of age alone, not because of money. I don't know what that guy was saying. One day, Miles Monroe said he landed at the airport in his private jet. He came down. And Oprah Winfrey looked at him and said, I've seen you somewhere before. He too looked at her and said, I've seen you somewhere before. I said, God, this is a blessing. Do you understand? The richest woman on the earth at that time, Oprah Winfrey, said, the richest black woman, she was second richest woman on the earth. They landed at the same time at the airport. They came down. So the woman looked at her and said, I've seen you somewhere before. He too looked at her and said, I've seen you somewhere before. I said, that is good. That's all I can say about it. It is what? It's good. That's Miles Monroe. He landed at an airport, and the plane that touched down beside his own was Oprah's own, and they greeted each other. One day you meet Dangote like that. You say, Elijah, finally, my pastor used to talk about you so much. It's what we say in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow our heads and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Your word is good. Your word is good.